This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is KT McFarland. She served as Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for President Reagan, also in the administrations of Presidents Ford and Nixon. She's now a national security analyst with the Fox News Channel, and we want to get her thoughts today on a couple of major stories. First of all, what could be tens of thousands of classified documents related to the war in Afghanistan being released again through this WikiLeaks organization? And time permitting, we also want to get her thoughts on what we've learned most recently about the release of the Lockerbie bomber nearly a year ago. And KT, it's always great to have you with us.
Great pleasure.
Well, this is the same organization that somehow got its hands on that tape where it was believed that U.S. forces were somehow targeting Reuters employees and so forth a number of months ago. Now we've got this massive document dump of supposedly classified material. We know that someone's already charged over that previous WikiLeaks incident. What do you expect the Pentagon reaction to be to this?
Well, I think a couple of things. One, it's really almost two issues. One, is there any information that was leaked that is sort of new or damaging or a smoking gun or anything that will affect policy? And I think in that case, there probably isn't that much that's new or that people didn't already know about. You know, we knew that the Afghanistan war was under-resourced. We knew that the Taliban has been gaining ground, and we've known that the Pakistani intelligence services are closely tied to Taliban groups. So there's nothing really new there. But there's a different issue, which is the significance of this whole process that some kid, some disgruntled 22-year-old soldier can hit the send button on his computer and somehow release nearly 100,000 classified documents that will then go into the public domain. That, I think, is the bigger long-term problem with this. Is this going to change the way we fight wars? If everybody in that whole chain of command has to think, gee, every field lieutenant has to think, gee, if I do my after-action battle report, could it be on the Internet? Or every general who is giving war plans and directing a war has to think, gee, if this gets out on the Internet, is everyone going to second and third guess my decisions? Or are people going to take that memo that I wrote and take it out of context and twist it around and use it to my disadvantage? So I think that all of a sudden you've got to question, are there any secrets that are going to stay secret? And if there aren't, then we're going to fight very differently than we have in the past.
Explain that a little bit more, KT. If those questions are starting to pop into the minds of folks who have to fill out reports and so forth, how would they write differently? How would they decide differently? How could it really affect our war operations?
Well, let's say you're somebody who's you've been working with, say, an Afghan informant who's been helping you, or somebody that you're bringing along trying to flip to be from Taliban to coming to your side. If you're very frank about it and you put his name in it, well, what happens if that's leaked? There's someone whose life could be in danger by having his name revealed. Or let's say, for example, you've been in a firefight. You're making an after-action report about, you know, you were pinned down, this is what happened, you called for close air support and you didn't receive it. Well, if you make a report like that, does that mean you're getting somebody in trouble who otherwise wouldn't be in trouble? If you're a military person who's giving orders, you know, a higher up the chain of command, and you're thinking, okay, well, we're going to do this, it's a risky operation, but it's worth doing, then you've got to wonder, well, is somebody going to look at that later and say, well, that was a really dumb idea? You know, so many people got killed. I think it just changes everything if you have to think that you're writing something that's going to then be revealed in a public forum.
And so what kind of prosecution, what kind of penalty do you
know.
Expect
this
to come
is,
from
this
the Pentagon?
This may be the new world we're living in. I don't think it was an accident that WikiLeaks gave these nearly 100,000 documents to a couple of select liberal papers throughout the world, including the New York Times. Remember, it was the New York Times which, during the Nixon administration, the New York Times received the Pentagon Papers from Daniel Ellsberg, and he wasn't, instead of getting, you know, tried for treason, the papers that he released, which were top secret, he was, you know, they got a Pulitzer Prize from that. So by leaking it to the New York Times, which has been down this road before, publishing classified information, I think that the founder of WikiLeaks, it has to assume that he's going to get away with it. And that this, I mean, he gave a press conference this morning, Greg, and when asked about, were you revealing classified information, he said, yes, and what we expect is a lot of other classified information is going to come our way as a result of this, which we're also going to publish.
KT, you mentioned before that as far as the documents we've seen so far, there's nothing that's really groundbreaking or unheard of before. Let me just ask you real quickly, though, about the relationship between the Pakistani intelligence and the Taliban. We've known that that's been a problem for a long time, that certain elements have been working for the other side here. Is that getting any better from what we know?
Remember, these documents that were leaked, they sort of ran out at 2009. So we've really, none of this has been for the last 18 months. Yes, I think what's happened in Pakistan is in the last 18 months, the Pakistani leaders have always thought of India as their primary adversary and challenge. They've now looked internally and they realize that the growth of the Pakistani elements, even though they were friends of the Pakistani leaders, the growth of the Taliban, particularly the Taliban that's now decided to focus its attention on Pakistan instead of Afghanistan, presents a real challenge to their own stability, because that Pakistan Taliban is going after the Pakistani government. You know, they're having bombings in Pakistan as well. So the Pakistanis have all of a sudden been seized with the notion that, oh my gosh, you know, they're trying to take us down. And so they have turned the fight and taken the fight to the Taliban in the past. Now the question is, will they continue to clean out the Taliban or will they stop?
And KT, in our last couple of minutes here, I want to get your thoughts on the latest developments in the story of the Lockerbie bomber. Of course, that happened about a year ago, the Scottish government releasing him on compassionate grounds, the UK government of Gordon Brown at that time going along with it, the US publicly very much against it, and even just a week or two ago, in his joint press conference with the new British Prime Minister, David Cameron, President Obama said the United States government was strongly against it. Now we're seeing memos from the U.S. Embassy in London at that time suggesting that while they preferred Megrahi to stay in prison in Scotland, they preferred outright release to transferring him to a Libyan prison. How do you read all this?
Well, I think that you've got to say that this is someone who killed American citizens, and there's no amount of compromising that you do, whether it is with to give favorable treatment to the British oil companies that were taking oil from Libya, or whether, you know, this humanitarian grounds, I don't buy it. I think that if the United States knew it was happening, that we should have privately objected to it, and when it happened, we should have publicly objected to it. But the fact that we look like we have two faces, one face that we have privately and then another face that we have publicly, where we condemn it publicly but privately are saying, sure, go right ahead, I think it points to a real credibility gap on the part of this administration.
KT, there was, I believe, a brother of one of the victims of Pan Am 103 speaking just a couple of weeks ago, probably about the same time David Cameron was in Washington, and he said that if the U.S. had strenuously objected and said, under no circumstances do we want Megrahi moved,
he probably
would not have been. Is that true?
I think you have to assume that's correct.
And why would that be the case?
Well, first of all, the United States and the British government have a close relationship. If they had asked us in advance and we had strongly objected, I think they would have had to certainly think twice before they went ahead against our wishes. And secondly, it was Americans who were killed. And so the fact that we had, you know, we have skin in this game, and I think that it would have been very difficult to assume that there would not have been real bumps in the U.S.-British relationship if they had gone against our wishes, certainly if it had been in reverse. If you substituted Great Britain for the United States, if it had been their citizens who died, and if it had been us holding someone who was responsible for the murder of their citizens, and we then released them for whatever our purposes, that the British government would have been pretty mad.
Very interesting and very unfortunate. KT, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
KT McFarland served as Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for President Reagan, also served in the Nixon and Ford administrations. She's now a national security analyst with the Fox News Channel. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.